Christ yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, all time belongs to him and all ages. To him be glory and power through every age and forever. Amen. This is the day when our Lord Jesus Christ passed from death to life, and we are joined with Christians celebrating around the world the awesome power of God. We are going to begin by hearing the account of the resurrection as told by Mark. In later manuscripts, he tells of Mary's encounter with Jesus, of what seems to be the story of Emmaus, and of Jesus appearing to all the disciples as they are sitting around a table. But this version is a little different. It is the very beginning of the news, the first stirrings of the resurrection.
The reading is from Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying one to another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went. They went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
I love this account. It seems so raw, so visceral. Almost we can see the early morning and the women running through the long shadows and the breaking sunlight. The news of the resurrection 2,000 years on. The news of the resurrection after 2,000 years of retelling has become something solid, something we lean against, stand on, recognise easily and rejoice in. And that is right. It is the dayspring of our faith. Perhaps, though, what this account offers us is something of the mystery and the awe of that first morning. And perhaps a moment to ponder how we respond to the news, or how we would respond from our hearts if it were the first time we heard it. Perhaps how we can respond again afresh today. I promise that as we move through this service, we will come to those hymns, those familiar great shouts of joy based on 2,000 years worth of Christian theology and living. But let us for a moment stay with the wonder, the fear of that first encounter with this ground-tilting, life-changing news. For this first hymn, let us stay with the mystery.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, who made this most holy morning to shine with the brightness of your own true light, set us aflame with the fire of your love and bring us to the radiance of your heavenly glory through our risen and wondrous Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. One of the things that I like to think about is that amidst all the joy of Jesus' returning from the grave, amidst all the wonder and the questions, there would have been for the disciples a moment when they realised that it was not too late to say sorry for their desertion in the garden. You know how it is when we've done something terrible. It's hard to enjoy the good times until we've had a chance to put things right. It was not too late to tell him that they loved him. And of course, in this, we remember Peter in particular and his desperate need, understood by Jesus, to express his love. The resurrection means it is not too late. Not too late to say we are sorry and to start anew. Let us come before Jesus now. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you, for we are sorry for our sins and confess to you our weakness and our unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us sing together.
This joyful is the time.
Just as we ponder the news of the resurrection, just as we unpack through our lives what it means for us, so did to the disciples and the early church. We tend to think of it all being very clear to them immediately, but it wasn't. They went on learning. This next reading comes from Acts. Peter has had his extraordinary dream where he is being asked to eat what formerly he thought was unclean. He is learning that what he had thought was the joy of the Jews was actually something even bigger, that the whole of humanity was invited to this celebration, to this joy. A man named Cornelius, a Roman in Caesarea, has asked to see Peter. He feels that he has been told to inquire of Peter what his message is. And so Peter comes and begins to speak.
I now see how true it is that God has no favourites, but that in every nation, the man who is God-fearing and does what is right is acceptable to him. He sent his word to the Israelites and gave the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. I need not tell you what happened lately over the land of Jews, starting from Galilee after the baptism proclaimed by John. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we can bear witness to all that he did in the Jewish countryside and in Jerusalem. He was put to death by hanging on a gibbet, but God raised him to life on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to the whole people, but to witnesses whom God had chosen in advance, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to proclaim him to the people and affirm that he is the one who has been designated by God as judge of the living and the dead. It is to him that all the prophets testify, declaring that everyone who trusts in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
The disciples were learning, and what a powerful witness they were to what they had learned. These words stand out for me. I need not tell you what happened lately in the land of the Jews. Sometimes I think when we ponder how to be witnesses to the good news of Christ to others around us, we too are in this place. We need not tell them the story of the resurrection or all the deeds that our Lord did in the land of the Jews. They know it. People around us know the story. Not always very thoroughly, but they know the gist. It's just that they haven't yet made sense of it for themselves, or not in ways that we recognise. It's possible that we have some more learning to do about that. But even those of us who, looking back over our lives of faith, can say, yes, we have met the risen Christ here. And then again, then, perhaps even yesterday and beside us today, even we have moments of blindness when it comes to the resurrection and the joy that it brings. When I told my friend, the monk, recently that sometimes I find it hard to have joy, he looked at me and said, that is to betray the resurrection. Part of the problem is that I think we look too long at the empty tomb and the stone. And of course, he is not there. We keep thinking about all the horrors of history and all the horrors of a world that suffers still. We think and fear climate change, and we think of and fear COVID. These are facts. These are reality. And Jesus stands with us as we try to deal with them. But they are not the whole story. The nations arguing, oppressive regimes and war, awful as they are not the whole story by any means. Around them, within them, despite them, there are signs of glory in every place. Can you imagine if our newspapers decided to record every good act, every moment of beauty and joy, every kindness, each moment of forgiveness or mercy? Imagine if they recorded each time someone gave to charity, visited a prison, someone helped, someone was thankful, someone commiserated, someone showed empathy, someone rejoiced, smiled, loved. Imagine them trying to record each bird song, each tiny opening flower, each moment an insect pollinates. It isn't news because it is the norm. The dark facts of our world are present. The tomb and the stone stand, but they stand in a garden that is very rich. A vast undercurrent of goodness and blessings that has always flowed from our Father Creator. The resurrection means that in the end, that goodness, that love, that beauty, battered and wounded as it may seem, will in the end persist. The stains and the shadows will be washed from it. It comes from God. It is eternal. And in the end, it will break through into new life, a new day, fresh, redeemed, and rejoicing. Shall we pray?
Alleluia! Christ is risen. On this Easter Sunday morning, we praise God for the ultimate hope for all humanity. In the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, we give thanks that at the heart of man lies the desire to make Jesus our Saviour and to demonstrate his love, peace and hope throughout the world. O Lord, we don't have to remind you that we're living in the most difficult of times. We pray for our leaders and their advisers, who now relaxed restrictions somewhat, and we pray for your protection from this virus and its various mutations. On this lovely spring-like weather we've enjoyed this week, this has hopefully gladdened our hearts and minds with the prospect of better times ahead and a return to some sort of normality. We pray for all throughout the world who are suffering this time from COVID, for those in hospital or at home, those who have recovered from the virus, and remember all those whose lives have been taken during this pandemic, and pray for families, friends and relatives mourning the loss of loved ones. We pray for our NHS nurses, doctors, all hospital staffs, care workers, key workers, and all of those on the front line in this battle against COVID. Lord, we've seen some relaxation restrictions. It's gratifying to see the children returning to school after missing so much schooling. There were a lot of catching up to do, and we pray for them and for future generations. It's our immediate concern that some parents are now struggling to feed their children, having to rely on food banks and the generosity of others to meet their basic needs. Additionally, we pray for those worried about whether they will have jobs to go to when lockdown and the furlough schemes are ended. Our big concern is also the state of the world, of strife and tension between nations. And we pray most earnestly for a safer world in which to live and an end to all conflicts. now, if you'll pray my indulgence, ask me just a little poem for you on about hope. If there be hope and love and charity, the shining wonder of a bluebird's wings, if there is joy and beauty in your life, speak kindly on these things. If there be trust when all men seem to doubt, a lullaby that some young mother sings, a neighbour on whose goodness you rely, speak kindly on these things. If there be majesty and truth and grace, a happy message that the postman brings, the welcome visitor who comes to call, speak kindly on these things. If there be beauty in a world of ill, a quiet valley where a church bell rings, where there is faith, hope, love, and little homes, speak kindly on these things. And now we'll say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life, and give you each joy this Eastertide. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and always. Amen. I want to say thank you to Jane Lamb for reading our Gospel so beautifully. I could almost hear the women's voices in hers. And also particularly to Marion and Jeffrey. It is such an encouragement, a strengthening, to hear the voices of those who, they will forgive me for saying, have travelled really quite some years with our Lord, who have carried the news of the Gospel for us and to us, so that on this Easter day we can once again let our hearts swell and sing of the resurrection. Go in peace to love and serve our risen Lord. Amen.